So I am Tom Tigan. I'm the Snohomish County Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department Director.
Can you take me in the room a little bit in those early days when you're meeting with people who are directly affected by this?
It was it's obviously tough to do, and I'm not a trained first responder. I'm not a DEM professional, or I'm the parks director. It's a feel-good department. This is all where all the great stuff happens, day camps and summer camps and outdoor movies and all this wonderful stuff. So getting tossed into this was, certainly an abrupt entry into a whole different world. I will tell you that the first few times I actually had been invited to meetings and briefings and things happening at in the city of Arlington, where you had a lot of emergency responders, you had a lot of folks, and early on they were like, "No, parks director is not going to be in here. This isn't part of what we're doing." And there was kind of a turning point in that. I was invited to come up to one of those briefings, and then as I was at the briefing, I was disinvited to be in the briefing. And one of the family members who had lost his sister said, "You're in the room." And no one can argue with me.
The event that happened is significant to the community at large. Do you feel any sort of pressure to be crass, to get it right for the community?
Yeah, I think there is, definitely. It started with the families, and that's where all of this started, and really honoring their commitments and their vision and what they'd like to see and how they'd like to see that. But then you're right. There's a number of plot lines through this story. And, you owe that to all those folks and those efforts. And everybody deals with this very differently. And there's a very intimate and tiny component to this, and then there's this huge component. And there is some pressure in making sure you do those things well.
Let's talk a little bit about how that relationship between your department and the families who have been involved has evolved over the years. I imagine there have probably been a lot of meetings. There have probably been, different ideas about what a memorial should look like and kind of ebb and flow in that process. Can you give me sort of a thumbnail sketch about how that's gone in terms of what you thought it might be and how it's worked out?
Yeah, it's been a tough process, honestly. A lot of really wonderful people. A lot of great friends now, folks that I consider brothers and sisters. But they went through something very horrendous. But they're so solid and they're so resilient and, very caring. It gives you a really good reason and purpose for, bringing the best you can to the equation, and understanding how important it is to honor, them, their lives, the lives of their loved ones lost, the commitment they made in being out there searching for loved ones, the commitment they've made in trying to create a memorial, their ability to be gracious and resilient and tough and angry and loving all at the same time. That's pretty astounding. People grieve very, very differently, and we've known this from the beginning, and so some folks got very involved early on in the process and were all committed, and then later on in their healing process found that they needed to step back and go different directions, and then other folks that were, pretty quiet at first maybe have kind of stepped up and really taken leadership roles. You've had a handful of folks that have been there since early on and just said, "This is going to matter, and I want to know what happened, and I want to know why it happened, and I don't want anyone to ever forget, my wife or my kids or my grandkids." So you've kind of run that whole gamut of emotions and commitment.
Can you take me through what you think the memorial will look like? So when we arrive on the scene, what do we see, and what does the memorial invite us to do while we're there?
So as you come up to the site, you're probably traveling from the west on the Oso Slide Memorial Highway. You come down into the valley and you start to head past where the slide is, and you'll see a sign for Steelhead Drive. Then we'll be dedicating this year, too, in the five-year commemoration artwork, that's the mailboxes. And so for family members there, you always knew I mean, we get into Steelhead Drive because there wasn't any sign at that point. There's only been a sign since the slide. But you had this big row of mailboxes, and that's where everybody put out their birthday balloons or put out other things or put out a sign or whatever. So you knew where to turn. That was the way you'd figure it out. So when visitors come to a place, they go through these predictable stages, particularly with memorials. There's these predictable stages that you want to see. Arrival, decompression, reception, orientation, interpretation, and then finally transition or transformation. And as you arrive to the site, you're going to park and you're going to step out, and what do you see first? What elements do you see first? And then you need this physical amount of time as you walk through the site to kind of decompress, to just, you take a breath and you kind of emotionally, physically, spiritually, you kind of decompress. And then there's reception, and that's what you'll see, kind of the entry into the plaza. And then you get your orientation as to what all happened, and you move your way through the orientation of the site, which is kind of the mapping of it and everything, to the interpretation, which that then gets into then all these, the responses, the first responders, what happened at the site geologically, what kind of interpretation is happening now, what kind of change has the site seen in the first 5 years and the next 5 years, and that, you know, with regrowth and all of that and the rebirth of the site. And you'll work through, and you'll be able to also then go through a series of memorials to the individual victims or families of victims. Each of the individual memorials will be set up and kind of specific to them. Some of the materials will be very similar, but then the types of trees or flowers you want to plant in that spot will be up to you. We're working through all those personal stories, so those can be told. So you get that, the whole what happened in the big event, you know, how did it affect the communities and everybody at large, and then you're into how did it really affect these individual families, you know. And then I think our hope is that final transition or transformation moment is when you leave, you're going to leave understanding the gravity of what happened, but hopefully hopeful and surprised, and value the resilience shown by folks. To acquire the site, we actually worked a lot with our sheriff's office, and we worked a lot with the first responder community. We were able to know exactly where people had been when the slide hit and where they ended up, you know, where their remains were found. And we identified spaces where we knew no one's remains had been found. So it was a clean site. We're only going to use about 2.5 to 4 acres for the actual memorial, because we want to disturb as little of the site as we possibly can to, you know, put in the long-term memorial.
And so 15 or 20 years from now, if somebody who arrives at the site and has never been to the Pacific Northwest, doesn't know anything about this beyond when they stop, how do you hope the site conveys the meaning of its space?
That's been the key in laying it out, so that we've spent a lot of time with the family. So the interpretation of the site is both the geologic event, then it's the response to the event, the first responders and all of that, and there'll be a number of kind of separate memorial pieces tied to that. And then as you track through and eventually get into the family, the individual family pieces, that's the thing we really want to make sure we're telling the story of these family members, of these lives lost, of these people that, and it was real people living in a real neighborhood in a really beautiful place, and this happened. And I think if you ask most of the families, what they want to know is that their sister or their brother or husband or wife or grandkids is going to be remembered for multiple generations for their smile or who they were. So that's what they'll see there.
You mentioned it was a beautiful space, and that, and as it stands now, the, you know, what you can see in evidence of the slide, there's still such a huge scar, and the site itself is vast. It strikes me that, you know, this memorial has the chance to kind of return the beauty to that particular space.
Yeah, and I think when you come into the site, one of the first big places is going to be the community gathering remembrance space. And one of the things we've talked about is in that community gathering place is having kind of this pole with the tree of life, and it would have the 43 branches or leaves that represent our 43 victims. And then across the plaza, across this community gathering space, there's probably a big boulder that's been etched, you know, with all the names of folks who were lost, who perished in the slide. And then the designer, it was great, said, and so on March 22nd at 10:37, if the sun is shining, then it'll go through these 43 leaves and the shadow will go across the plaza and beyond that stone. So the families were like, that's amazing. It's awesome. But then one of the family members is like, it's never going to be sunny on March 20. He just laid into it. And everyone started laughing. And the fact is, you know, it just is one instance of hundreds, if not thousands, I've had of these families being both absolutely practical, but also kind of saying, this is great. This is nice hoity-toity, but that beautiful plan with it's probably not going to work because it's freaking raining every March 20. I just love the combination. When we're sitting here talking about it, it's important thinking about how all those interactions have played out. It's pretty stunning.
Is there a timeline for starting to build or an idea of we hope that it can be completed by?
Yeah, we've really started the fundraising this year. On the four-year commemoration, many of the families were to the point where they wanted to now start down this path and be more purposeful about it. So a number of our local firms have agreed to be involved with doing the geotechnical work and doing design and engineering work and doing stuff pro bono. So it's pretty stunning what happened. The roadway now, and where Steelhead Drive is actually 18 feet above the previous road grade. Mm-hmm. It's a complicated site for us to actually do a memorial too, because then we have all those same geotechnical considerations and we are on the edge of a floodplain and we are in an area that's obviously had a catastrophic event. So design, engineering work, that's all very extensive. So at this point, we're pretty confident that, yes, it will be built. We have a good plan. We are looking for co-investors. We're looking for folks that want to, that value the idea of having this place for remembrance. It was important not just to the families. The first responders in the last year have particularly gotten more involved and are very interested and assisting in fundraising and finding ways, because many spent a number of weeks on the site, some of the probably most intense times of their lives. So we feel very firmly that in the Seattle metropolitan region and here in Snohomish County and Everett and our communities, that we will find ways that folks will engage on these, whether that's financially, whether it's through in-kind donations. The other big thing was deciding, and we had this in these early guiding draft principles, are we creating a foundation to manage it? Is it going to be managed as the park site? If it is, how do we endow that? How do we make sure that 100 years from now, you know, it's going to be taken care of? We have now two different executives that have been county executives at this time, multiple new council members, lots of different electeds around our region. And the fact is, this is one thing that everybody supports. They understand that this is something that's outlives any of us. I'm very thankful that our elected leadership understands that this is worth the time and energy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. It's a very humbling experience working with these folks, and they are truly resilient and remarkable. So appreciate the time.